Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Bibles, if you would, this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me read a single verse there. I'll read two verses out of that passage. 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. You're not unfamiliar with the passage, I'm sure. Verses 26 and 27. It says in verse 26, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, and so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was concerned that there'd be a time in his Christian walk where there'd be no discipline, no distinction, and no dedication. And therefore, he would become unapproved. And that ought to be a concern for every child of God. If the great apostle Paul was concerned about losing his fire, losing his discipline, his distinction, his dedication, his walk with God, we ought to be just all the more, especially in the year 2024. Let's pray. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. We pray, Jesus, that you would work in our hearts here this morning. I pray if there's one here that is not born again, one listening to the radio broadcast or even watching live stream and they're not saved, God, may they hear the gospel today and may they be born into the family of God. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning and we don't want to just have church. We want to do church. We ask God that there'd be Holy Spirit punch in the preaching today. I pray that you would take the word of God and you would get it all over us. And God, I pray that somehow, some way, like you have done so much in the recent past, we pray that just a little piece of heaven would fall on this place this morning, in this place, and in our lives, and God get all over us. And Lord, we as a church family, we would leave here this morning more prepared and better prepared to serve you and reach people around us. We pray for your will. We pray for your way. God, we pray that the power of God would be evident. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Okay, I didn't know what I was going to preach this morning right until I waffled. I went back and forth time and time again. I was going to preach out of Psalm 78. I was going to preach out of 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And then God brought me back because I had people point me this direction. Sometimes the Holy Spirit does that. 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. And you're already there. I trust you are. I want to say this. It's game day. Every high school player, every high school boy knows what Friday is if you played high school football. Man, it's game day. You look forward to it all week long. You get up in the morning, you think, man, it's game day. Man, this is Friday night under the lights. I'm ready to go to war. Every college player, Saturday, it's game day. And I want you to know, Church of Jesus Christ, today's Sunday, it's game day. We better pay attention. In your Bibles, 1 Corinthians and chapter 9, stand with me one more time. Let me read just a little bit. The battle rages on. There's much work to be done. I'm going to preach a theme that I don't think I preached here in a while. I don't think so. I asked somebody at the ball game on Friday night when God, the Holy Spirit started to stir this thinking in my mind. I said, man, have I ever preached such and such on high school football? And they said, you preach that every Sunday, preacher. And that kind of popped my bubble. But I don't think I've preached this of recent. I don't think. And if I have, you bear with me. The pastor's an old man now. I don't remember preaching this here in the last year, maybe 2 years. If I have, there's something here the Holy Spirit has for you. So I'm just telling you, don't you get cross-eyed if you say, oh, I know this passage. You don't know everything about this passage, and neither do I. And let the Holy Spirit hit you right between the eyes with a great truth. Father, we pray your blessing on what we're going to read right now. I pray, God, you take over. Lord, you do in this service what needs to be done. Give unction. God, help me to understand that there's a purpose to preaching this passage of Scripture. And may I be able to, with your anointing, connect it to Fundamental Baptist Church. And we'd all take it to heart. And we'd all understand it's game day. Souls are in the balances. The battle rages on. People are leaving this earth and slipping into eternity every day. And God, we need to be in the game. God bless, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Look at remain standing. Look at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Go ahead and be seated. For 21 years, I was fortunate enough to be able to influence the lives of many young men in this area. For 21 years, I was privileged to coach high school football. And I loved it. I loved it. And when I was young in my coaching career, it was all about wins and losses. It was all about records. But as I matured and became confident in what I was doing, it became about young men. It became about building young men for the glory of God. I saw many of them then. I've seen some since then receive Christ as their Savior. There are people around the county, the tri-county area, that still refer to me as coach. And I wear that as a badge of honor, to have that kind of influence. I walked up and down the sidelines like General Patton. I encouraged, I derided, I lifted up, I tore down. I did everything I could to turn that football, that group of young men, into a first-class football team. We didn't always arrive. We didn't always get it done, but it was a grand privilege, and I enjoyed it very much. I preached back then at many banquets what I called the gospel of football, the good news about football. I believed back then that football was the greatest team sport in all of the world. I have since changed my mind about that. In fact, halfway through that tenure, I changed my mind about that. The greatest team sport in all of the world is the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm just privileged. For 21 years, high school football coach. This December, by January the 1st, I'll finish 43 years as pastor of Fundamental Baptist Church. Thousands have been influenced for the cause of Christ. I say that with great humility. I don't know how many people have been won to Christ. Heaven knows. I don't know who was real and who wasn't real, but heaven makes no mistake about that kind of thing. I understand that what we are doing here at Fundamental Baptist Church is the greatest work in all of the world. There's nothing like it. Friday, game day? No. It's game day right now for the Church of Jesus Christ. And take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12 and verse 13. I want to share some life truths, some principles that I did my best to instill in my children, sometimes successfully, sometimes not, that my parents instilled in me, and I trust and pray that it'll be of great blessing to everyone here. Now, the great thing about being a high school football coach, and Josh and Steve and Don and who else? Greg, I know you guys understand this. In other sports, the same thing, but football is just a little bit different animal. You know, just a little bit different. It's like being able to go to war every Friday night with a brand new game plan. Being able to go to war, do your best without anybody actually dying, going to war and beating your opponent to a pulp, out hitting them every play, and just doing the all within the rules, but doing the very best you can. There's something about a high school football coach where you got that Acme whistle, and it's like your General Patton. And I loved it. That kind of fed my alter ego. I think that's what it is. Man, I walk through the locker room and everybody just shut up. JV players just like, oh, Coach Rader's here, you know. And whatever they're talking about, they stop talking. And I walk through, hey, old fellas, how you doing? You know, or, hi, girls, how you doing? You know, did my best to stay right up on top because they needed a leader. And that Acme whistle It was like it was symbolic of great power. It's hanging on my wall in there. I was tempted to bring it out this morning. Because if I blew that whistle, it's not like those Fox whistles that had no... The Acme whistle is steel. And it's got a cork P in it. And it will blow your eardrums out. There were a couple of years where we had 80 players, freshmen through seniors, and we on that football field practicing, and you put the junior high with that, that's including the junior high. You put the junior high with that, and it's like, well, you could blow that whistle, and everybody in the practice field, no matter if they were in the far corner, everybody just kind of took note. I love that whistle. Man, I'd love to be able to pastor a church with that whistle. I would love it, man. I'd blow my whistle. Hey, fella, that's two Sundays in a row. You're late for Sunday school. Give me 25 laps. Lady, you weren't at prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I want you to give me 20 push-ups. I want you to think about it, and you lose your starting position because somebody else is right. Man, I would love to pastor a church like that. The church wouldn't be very big, but we would be efficient. We would. But that's not the pastor. That's not the pastor. That's not how it works. And the Apostle Paul here said, number one, chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And if you know your Bible, you know that is not talking about water baptism there. That is not believer's baptism. That is the sinner receiving Jesus as his or her Savior and being immersed by the Holy Spirit into the family of God. That is spiritual baptism. That happens at the moment of salvation. And if it's game day, number one, get on the team. Real simple points here this morning. And it's going to take me long to run through it. Number one, get on the team. Remember what it was like in grade school? You'd look up all those varsity football players. You think, someday I'm going to wear that uniform. And someday I'm going to run on the field. I can remember as a boy, a little boy on Shunk Road, Dad taking us to the Sioux High football games. I was thinking about this morning. Don, I might have seen you play. I remember as a fourth and fifth and sixth grade, and Dad didn't always have the money to get us in the games, but we'd park on the north end of the field under those pine trees, and we'd watch through the chain link fence. And I remember thinking, man, one day I'm going to do that. And that day, get on the team. Get born again. Become part of the family of God. Don't be that outsider looking at the family of God, looking at the New Testament church and saying, man, that'd be fun to be part of that. Man, get on the team. Put on the uniform. What I'm telling you this morning is, if you're not born again, get saved. Receive Christ as your Savior. Trust Him for salvation, and you'll be immersed by the Holy Spirit. That moment of salvation, you'll be born into the family of God. He'll not only immerse you, He'll indwell you, and He'll seal you, and you'll be His forever. You'll be part of the team. Number one, get on the team. Number one, make sure you are saved. Number two, get off the bench. Get off the bench and do something for God. Numbers 32, turn back there if you would. Numbers and chapter 32. And verse 6, Numbers 32 and verse 6. Getting ready to enter the land of Canaan, Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? He looked at those two tribes and said, listen, we're getting ready to go to war, and you're going to stay behind? Get off the bench. You say, preacher, I'm saved. Preacher, I'm part of the family of God. I've been born again, born of the Spirit of God. I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Get off the bench. When I was a freshman in high school, it just so happened that everybody in the preseason practiced together where I went to high school, and it was 9th grade through 12th grade. It was the freshman team, JV team, and the varsity team, all practicing together. I remember the first day we got equipment. Man, I was excited. I didn't even know how to put all the equipment on. I was excited. I was just a wet behind the ears freshman, and I didn't know a whole lot about football other than barnyard football. Played that all the time, almost every day of the fall and every day of the summer where we could squeeze it in. And I know what Dad taught me about hairline tackles and seeing what you tackle. I never really experienced a lot of it, but he said, run through the ball carrier. Man, you're two hits. When you collide with him and you keep your feet going, and then when you collide with the ground and you're on top of him, that second hit is the hit that usually hurts the most. He said, you run through it. Well, I lined up Everybody just kind of lined up randomly, and I was across from a senior, may have been a junior, an upperclassman, varsity football player, and I lined up across from him. Here I am, my 170 pounds as a freshman, and I'm thinking, man, they went through the cadence, went through the count, Coach DeBaker just happened to be walking by, and all I knew was to throw my body into that guy and right through him, and I did, knocked him on his hinder part back there, and Coach DeBaker said, "Timmy, that's exactly what I want to see. That's it. That's football." Always called me Timmy. That bothered me. Right? Next thing I know, next week, he's handing out game uniforms, and he gave me a varsity uniform. He didn't communicate a whole lot. I said, "What am I doing with this?" And he put me on the varsity. I sometimes think that was a little bit of a, I only played the last 2 minutes of every game. I could have been playing full-time in the JVs or the freshman team, but, you know, every 2 minutes, they used to have a two-minute warning where the gun would go off. The old days, some of you guys remember this, boom, 2 minutes left. Everybody knew it in the place, all right? Boom, the gun would go off, and Coach DeBaker would say, Timmy Raider, where are you? Get in there, and I'd go running in there. He'd call me Timmy right in front of all the cheerleaders, everybody. Said, "Timmy, run in." And I go in there the last 2 minutes, and I get as many tackles as I could or block or carry the ball. I just did anything I could do in those last 2 minutes. And then we'd celebrate in the locker room after the big win, homecoming, whenever it was. And all those upperclassmen, yeah. And some of them were men. They had full beards. I remember Gary Pock in particular. But and I yelled with them, but it's kind of empty. You know why? It's a hollow win. Because I sat on the bench the whole time. That's why some people in the family of God don't get excited about people getting saved. Because they're on the bench and they're not leading people to Christ themselves. Boy, and if you ever did, man, fireworks would go off in your soul. It'd set you on fire when you lead somebody to Christ. And you're going to say, man, I could do this all the time. I'd like to do this again. Man, get off the bench. Get on the team, get off the bench. How about this? Prepare to win. Look at here, go back to chapter 9. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? And listen to what Paul said. So run that ye might obtain. You play to win. That's why you get on the field. You play to win. You prepare to win. It's all about preparation. Every coach says this. You are going to play on game day like you practice. So whether it's Monday night or Tuesday night or Wednesday night or Thursday night, I'm going to play like it's a game. It's going to be me against the world. And every play is theoretically a touchdown. So we prepare to play to win on Friday night. And when I was coaching, with my Acme whistle, after every play, I could find something that was done wrong. If we were in the offensive huddle and I told other coaches to do the same, and they did often, in fact, regularly, I say, find somebody that's doing something wrong on every play, and while we're coming back to the huddle, you get in their ear hole and you tell them what they did wrong so that they'll encourage them, whatever it is, so that we'll get better every play. Steve will witness this. Josh will witness this because he played for me. He'll testify to this. We would run a play, and even if it was almost perfect, I'd blow the whistle and say, "Run it again." And we'd run the same play again. Defense knows what we're running. Blow the whistle, run it again. Man, they know what we're doing, coach. Run it again. So we worked it out. So all the footwork, everything was exactly right. The New Testament local church has got to prepare to win. Every play, if 11 guys do their job, is theoretically a touchdown. Every single play. If the church is hitting on all 8 cylinders and everybody's involved, man, we're going to see souls get saved. We're going to see old-time revival. The Spirit of God is going to fall on this place, and there is a place for everybody. I want to emphasize this. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 talks about the body of Christ. And when the hand suffers, the whole body suffers. When the foot suffers, the whole body suffers. Not everybody's a hand, not everybody's a foot, not everybody's an eye. And it's a picture of the family of God. It's a metaphor of the family of God. We've got to work together. There is a position. In the game of football, there are not just 11 positions. There are not just 55 or 22 positions. There are 55 positions when you include all the special teams. There was a place for everybody on that football team to get on the field. 55 positions. Can I submit to you there's a whole lot more positions than that in the family of God? This is the ultimate team sport. In the game of football, if one out of the 11 doesn't do their job, the defense stops them. It stops them. In the family of God, you have a position. You have a place. You have a calling. And if you're not doing it, then the church is handicapped just that much. There is a place for you. It might be in the choir. It might be in a Sunday school class. It might be on a bus. It could be at the camp. It may be at the Christian school. There is a place for you in the family of God. Please get off the bench. Prepare to win. Play like a man. I'm not gonna elaborate this. I'll just say this. New Testament Christianity is not for sissies. You can't get things your way all the time. New Testament Christianity is not something that is going to just kind of go your way all the time. It's a battle. It is a fight. There are good days and there are bad days. And I fear what is happening in America with our young men. I fear the lack of manhood that is stepping forth or ceasing to step forth in our nation in which we live. In the game of football, I loved it because you bled. You lost blood in practice. You got bruised. Sometimes it was worse than that, but just difficulties. I said this when I was on the board at Maranatha, Board of Trustees. I said, I think we ought to make all of our preacher boys play at least 1 year of football. And I said, and the reason for that is they need to learn what it is to bleed. Even if they're a 99-pound tackling dummy, that's fine. They'll learn what it's about. They'll learn that that New Testament Christianity isn't for sissies, and maybe they won't wash out in the ministry. I like Teddy Roosevelt. He said, the gridiron is a manly game. He saved American football in the year 1905. I won't go that direction. Play by the rules. Look what it says in verse 26. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Win with humility. Lose with grace. Adapt without compromise. Our culture keeps changing, but the word of God never changes. We can adapt some things that are methodology. That can be adapted, but the word of God never changes. Adapt without compromise. That's tough to do as an old guy. I get teased about being the old guy all the time. I'm trying to do things the old ways all the time. And I think I adapt. I try to adapt. Sometimes I'm a slow learner, but you adapt. But you adapt without compromise to sensuality. Adapt without compromise to giving up on doctrine. Don't let the culture dictate your doctrine. We hold to the word of God. We've got to play by the rules. That is Bible fundamentalism. Jesus said, you can't serve both God and mammon. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not scattereth abroad. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Jesus said, it's black and white. You are either following me or you got the flesh mixed in there somewhere. You can't serve God and the God of gain, that being mammon. So play by the rules as a child of God. Don't ever quit. Look at verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Listen, church, don't quit. Now, we've added on these wings. If you took everybody in the wings right now and put them in this middle section, we would be tight and shoulder to shoulder. We have more people coming here than we had last year. He actually gave us the building expansion. It is up to the church to fill it up. Get on the team, get off the bench, prepare to win. Don't be negative. Don't be negative, Nancy. And I don't want to offend any Nancy that's here. Anybody named Nancy. I'm not trying to do that. Don't be that person that's the wet blanket. That is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. You got a brother that's really way up high here on Jesus and he's serving God. Man, don't you, it's not your job to bring him back to reality. We're seated in the heavenlies. Amen. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That's what it says in the book of Ephesians. And instead of you do not honor God by sitting under a juniper tree and whining about how bad things are. That is not honoring to God. That does not please God. God isn't looking for someone that has that kind of gift. That is not a gift. That, my friend, is the flesh. Or maybe even Satan speaking through somebody that shouldn't be speaking on behalf of Satan. Man, build up the brethren. Prepare to win. Play by the rules. And do not quit. Proverbs 24:16, the just man falleth seven times and yet riseth again. The Apostle Paul said, I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. Revelation chapter 3 and verses 7 through 10. Oh, before we turn there, I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Okay, don't fumble the ball. Right now, do not drop the ball. Go to Revelation in chapter 3. Would you do that? Revelation in chapter 3. Some of our teens have won some of their fellow players to the Lord in the football program over there at Pickford this year. I rejoice in that. They have had 40, 50, and even 60 in youth group on Wednesday nights. And I want to say this from the platform. Those souls that were won to Christ, those souls that you introduced to the best friend that you've got, those souls that you introduced to your Savior, they are better than any state championship trophy. They are better. They are forever trophies, and you're going to be rewarded, and they're going to rejoice in heaven. Get them to church. I know you got them coming to youth group. Get them to church. Do your best. That's the hardest thing to do, is to get them to come out to church. There's so much pulling on their lives today, and they may not have a family that's behind them. So do your very, very best. Play to win. Don't quit. Don't fumble the ball. Don't become unapproved or a castaway. That is what that's what Paul was saying when he said castaway, unapproved, where in other words, God can't use me anymore. And Paul was so concerned about that he would lose his distinction, that he would lose his dedication, that he would lose his discipline. An undisciplined football team is a losing football team. An undisciplined family of God is not going to get it done. Let me turn over there with you to Revelation in chapter 3. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia, verse 7, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, and he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, and behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. In this day in which we live, Tombow Life Principles, in this very end of the church age, all summer long I've been harping on this. We are that church in which God has opened the door. We have an open door to bring people to Christ. We have an open door of opportunity to get more missionaries on the mission field. We have an open door of opportunity at Canaan Land, at Maplewood, in Sunday school. There's so much that needs to be done. I'm done, and I kind of meandered here as I went through this a little bit this morning. I know that, but know this. Get on the team. If you're not born again, get saved. There's a place for everybody on this team. Get off the bench. There's a position for you. Shame on you if you have the ability of music and you're not involved. You just come to get ministered to. Shame on you if you have the ability to teach and you're not involved. Shame on you if God has put an ability on your plate and you're not using it. Find a way. There's a position for everybody. Play to win. Time is running out. There are souls that need to be saved. Praise Him, all creatures, hear me now. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.